data stream mining techniques for real-time monitoring and control of smart power grids in Kenya. Challenges and opportunities. Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Malcolm Diggs. In many emerging economies, engineers treat the entire smart grid kind of like real-time streaming architecture. This is not a choice, it's a consequence of design constraints. Data is generated continuously by smart meters, substations, renewable generation nodes, and edge sensors, and decisions need to be made faster than batch pipelines could ever accommodate. Static data mining approaches, even with daily or hourly updates, cannot keep up with what is essentially a non-stationary, geographically distributed, latency-sensitive control problem. Take load balancing, for example. In Kenya, where today's paper is focused, energy usage patterns vary significantly not just by region, but by minute-to-minute behavior, by unpredictable weather shifts, local grid instabilities, and unplanned outages. These variations can't be anticipated offline. Instead, they show up in telemetry streams from grid sensors, streams that are noisy, incomplete, and often delayed. To make use of these streams, grid operators need systems that compute on the fly. That means that windowing, online learning, and incremental updates are mandatory features, not enhancements. The introduction of distributed renewable energy sources only makes things more complicated. Solar and wind installations, for example, introduce volatility that is not easily predicted using traditional models or historical averages. Their output needs to be tracked and responded to in real time, or else they risk destabilizing the grid. In this kind of scenario, grid state estimation is a continuous time inference task with tight bounds on delay and accuracy. Even basic fault detection itself becomes a streaming classification problem. To hammer this home, let's think about it from another perspective. Scale. Kenya's national grid spans urban centers, industrial zones, and rural off-grid or mini-grid systems. Each node on the network has its own reporting cadence, data format, and reliability profile. Trying to coalesce all that data into a centralized warehouse before acting introduces unacceptable lag. Instead, data needs to be processed as it arrives, close to where it originates. So again, the architecture needs to embrace a stream. This shift in framing from batch analytics to stream-first computation is not just a technical optimization. It's a necessary redefinition of what the power grid even is. And because the system is both safety critical and financially constrained, it has to run continuously, adaptively, and with bounded delay using commodity hardware. That's what makes it a streaming problem, not just because the data arrives as a stream, but because the decisions do too. On today's episode, we're going to deep dive on this Kenyan case study and take a deeper look at their national power grid. In this paper, the authors analyzed how data stream mining is being used in the wild. We're going to walk through the pieces they found. We'll see how fault detection and load balancing work when your sensor coverage is sparse and your compute is at the edge. We'll see how predictive models like LSTMs and reinforcement learning are being used to stabilize the grid that includes intermittent renewables, and we'll break down the architecture trade-offs in scaling stream processing under severe bandwidth and infrastructure constraints. Let's dive in. We need to start with what's already deployed. As of now, data stream mining is not being used in its full form. Instead, the dominant approach is a patchwork of reactive telemetry, basic threshold-based alerts, and event logging, supported by limited deployments or smart meters, and SCADA, the supervisory control and data acquisition systems. Most of the real-time intelligence in the system, such as it exists, is built around fixed rules and centralized human monitoring. The most common technique in practice is anomaly detection through simple statistical thresholds. For example, if voltage readings fall outside a defined operating range, the system logs an alert. These thresholds are typically static and manually configured, meaning they don't adapt to changing load profiles or seasonal variation. When fault detection does occur, it's often delayed or imprecise due to lagging telemetry updates and insufficient spatial coverage across the grid. The result is longer time to response and a heavier reliance on manual inspection. Load balancing is still largely heuristic and pre-planned. The current pipeline doesn't support dynamic reconfiguration based on streaming demand patterns. Instead, operators allocate capacity using static load forecasts and historical consumption data. This leads to either over-provisioning in anticipation of peak demand or under-provisioning that causes brownouts. What's missing is an adaptive feedback loop that could continuously adjust loads based on real-time data. On the data side, much of the infrastructure is still operating in batch mode. Meter readings are collected at fixed intervals, sometimes only once per day, and uploaded manually or over low bandwidth links. This significantly restricts the system's ability to perform online learning or near real-time decision-making. In rural areas and secondary substations, many devices are still analog or semi-digital, and the telemetry pipeline suffers from missing data, latency, or corruption due to intermittent network coverage. Machine learning models are beginning to appear, but they are often deployed in isolation as pilot projects or academic proofs of concept. For instance, Kenya Power has an ML-based anomaly detection on smart meter data using off-the-shelf classifiers. But these models are typically trained offline on small datasets, and they are not integrated into production systems with live data flow. There is little support for incremental updates, drift detection, or retraining mechanisms, which are essential for sustained model accuracy in volatile environments. Contrary to what you might assume, streaming architectures like Apache Kafka, Flink, and Spark are almost entirely absent. The dominant architecture isn't cutting-edge streaming services, it's centralized monoliths. Most processing is done on cloud servers or local control centers. This introduces latency and fragility. When connectivity to a substation drops, data is lost or delayed. There's minimal use of buffering, local failover, or edge inference to mitigate these risks. Overall, it's fair to say that there is a clear gap between what is technologically available and what is operationally deployed. This is not due to lack of interest or effort, but rather due to infrastructure constraints, cost barriers, and the absence of a streaming-first system design. The result is a fragile pipeline that can surface known faults, but struggles to handle variability, speed, or scale. The question then is, what would be required to build a truly responsive, real-time inference layer into the grid? Let's see. As I mentioned earlier, the noisy, continuous grid behavior rules out batch-oriented models. It also rules out naive polling loops or anything that assumes fixed-time updates. What you're left with is a highly constrained streaming environment where algorithms need to be incremental, resource-aware, and fault-tolerant from the start. Let's break that down. First, the data model. The power grid generates a ton of telemetry. That's voltages, currents, frequency variations, equipment temperatures, power factor changes, customer load profiles, and more. But there's no luxury of aggregating this data on a fixed cadence. If an overvoltage event at a substation goes undetected for even a few hundred milliseconds, it can propagate upstream or cause cascading failures. That's why streamlining in this domain depends heavily on windowing. Sliding and tumbling windows backed by queue-based data structures are essential for isolating actionable patterns from the data stream in a bounded memory footprint. In practice, these windows are used to track real-time thresholds like RMS voltage over the last 500 samples, compute rolling aggregates like harmonic distortion across a feeder, or detect fast-moving anomalies like transformer loading spikes. But here's the catch. These windows must be updated per sample without full recomputation, and must degrade gracefully when packets drop or values arrive late. Second, the model behavior. There's no place for heavyweight models that require static data sets or centralized feature extraction. Instead, algorithms need to operate online. That means updating their internal state incrementally with each incoming observation. The technical requirement here is that the algorithm supports partial fit operations, works in fixed memory, and can output a prediction or classification immediately after receiving a new data point. It also has to be interpretable. Grid operators and field engineers can't act on opaque probability estimates. If a model flags an anomaly, it needs to be clear whether the case was a sustained voltage deviation, a harmonic resonance pattern, or a failed communications link. Models that can produce localized feature attributions or rule-based classifications are preferred over dense embeddings or deep nets with opaque activation paths. In other words, inference latency is not the only constraint. Operational transparency matters just as much. Third, the location that compute takes place. Given the connectivity challenges, real-time inference needs to happen as close to the data source as possible. That puts additional constraint on the model size, energy footprint, and implementation language. In practice, this means you often can't run TensorFlow or PyTorch at the edge. You might be working with stripped-down models implemented in C or running on microcontrollers with kilobytes of RAM. These systems must be robust to intermittent connectivity, able to resume from checkpoints, and support degraded modes when only partial data is available. Finally, synchronization is a constant challenge. Because data is being generated by geographically dispersed sensors with unsynchronized clocks, incoming samples can be jittery, out of order, or dropped altogether. Any real-time inference stack must be resilient to clock skew, missing timestamps, and distributed lag. That often means leaning on time-tolerant algorithms, predictive buffering, and consistency checking heuristics at ingest. Put differently, if your model assumes uniform sampling, synchronized time windows, clean JSON input, or stable TCP links, it's gonna break. Real-time inference for power grid monitoring is not a cloud-native analytics problem. It's an edge-native, failure-prone, stream computation problem. And the systems that succeed here are built to compute in situ, tolerate gaps, and reason incrementally with partial data. All that being said, if you want to move beyond reactive control in a smart grid, you have to go further than that. You need more than analysis, you need prediction. And in data environments like this, predictive models have to be compact, incremental, and robust. If you're actually building anything like this, that is, infrastructure for real-time analytics in high-latency, resource-constrained environments, this study provides a roadmap of sorts, a set of rules and a framework you can follow to maximize your chance of success. Instead of just walking through a list of individual things they're doing to address all these issues, I think it's more useful to reframe the things they did as a set of best practices and guidelines for you. The first guideline is architectural. Favor edge inference wherever possible. The latency cost of round-tripping telemetry to a centralized data center is too high for many of the use cases in smart grid control. Machine learning models like LSTMs are being deployed directly on substations and microgrid controllers to handle localized load prediction, anomaly detection, and equipment failure forecasting. Builders should expect to embed model inference alongside sensor processing using frameworks like TensorFlow Lite, the ONNX Runtime, or PyTorch Mobile. For deployments where compute is minimal, model quantization and distillation are necessary. The second guideline is that you should design for lossy, partial, and inconsistent data. Even in well-funded smart grid installations, gaps in data are the norm, not the exception. Data from IoT sensors arrives intermittently with format inconsistencies and noise. Kenya's case highlights the fragility of conventional ML pipelines when the telemetry stream includes nulls, missing timestamps, or high error rates. Stream mining framework should include pre-processing stages for interpolation, smoothing, and schema normalization. If you're building on Apache Flink or Kafka Streams, this needs to be a first-class part of the topology. Local fallbacks matter. If the cloud-side processing fails, what's your edge controller supposed to do? Third, incremental learning isn't optional. The Kenyan grid changes behavior seasonally, daily, and even hour-to-hour as renewable generation fluctuates and demand spikes. Static models trained offline cannot track that drift. Any system that ingests a continuous stream should be structured for continuous model updates using online learning or adaptive parameter tuning. Even simple approaches like periodically retraining from a rolling buffer of sensor data can outperform static baselines. Make sure the system architecture allows for hot swapping models without halting inference. Next, consider the integration layer. This particular grid spans multiple vendors, legacy systems, and data sources that do not share schemas or protocols. Data stream mining in that environment requires a durable approach to interoperability. If you're designing for similar environments, assume that ingestion will involve protocol translation, schema mapping, and resilience against version mismatches. Apache NiFi, Kafka Connect, or bespoke integration adapters need to be maintained as infrastructure, not afterthoughts. Think like a data engineer, not just a model developer. From a deployment and scaling perspective, hybrid cloud edge designs are most viable. In this particular case, the constraints around bandwidth and centralized compute availability push inference to the edge, but training and batch processing can still happen centrally. This means you need a robust mechanism for coordinating state across edge and cloud systems. Stream checkpointing, model versioning, and feature drift monitoring are critical. Builders working on containerized deployment should think in terms of orchestrators that handle low connectivity environments like K3S or Nomad, instead of assuming Kubernetes will always be practical. Finally, every system must address operational continuity and fault tolerance. The grid is, obviously, a critical system, one that has to deal with a number of challenges: power outages, network failures, and physical damage to infrastructure, to name a few. In that kind of situation, your analytics platform must degrade gracefully. That means checkpointed stream processing, fallback heuristics when model predictions are unavailable, and alerting mechanisms that don't depend on a single point of failure. Real-time dashboards or control systems should show confidence bounds and health checks so that operators can interpret and act even if the models go stale or fail. If you want a deeper look at the system architecture diagrams, specific ML models used, or the side-by-side comparisons with other countries' grid modernization efforts, it's all in the full PDF. It also includes references to the frameworks and tools we discussed, like Apache Flink, TensorFlow Lite, and the actual LSTM deployment scenarios. If you're planning something similar in your own infrastructure, I'd highly recommend that you download the paper. Thank you for joining me on today's episode of Journal Club. This episode was written and performed by myself, Malcolm Diggs, and it was produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. Signing off for now. See you tomorrow.